Hello, and welcome to the reading of the Courier, the e-edition, for Thursday, the 12th of October. And I am your narrator, Peter Welch, and you are listening to IRIS, the Iowa Radio Information Services Network for the Blind. All right, let's take a look at the paper here. I've got this is really something. The front page says, Psycho Thriller. All right, let's take a look at it and see what this is all about. Playhouse Terrifying Misery plucks at our most deep-seated fears. In Waterloo, Stephen King's Misery is a psychological thriller of terror and torture. A popular 1990 movie, it has become a cult classic among moviegoers. As director of Misery for the Waterloo Community Playhouse opening on Friday, Alan Malone admits, I've stayed away from the movie. It's an iconic film, and I didn't want to be influenced by it. Malone, who was recently named the new Associate Artistic Director for WCP and the Black Hawk Children's Theater, describes the stage version as a distilled version of King's book and is based on the movie and conflict elements of the book. The plot is essentially the same for this William Goldman adaptation, the director said. Novelist Paul Sheldon, Dana Markell Clapp, is injured in a snowy car crash. Former nurse and his self-professed biggest fan, Annie Wilkes, played by veteran actress Kim Grogonda, rescues him and takes him to her remote cabin to recover. All right, let's take a look. Let's move it to the next page here. Hold on. The situation takes a worse turn when Annie learns that Sheldon has killed off her favorite character in his latest novel. She becomes an increasingly violent captor who demands that he write a new book that revives the character. Mitchell Folker portrays the sheriff who finally locates Sheldon. Some critics have said that the drama is particularly terrifying because it plays on people's deepest fears of being trapped both in mind and body and being held at another person's mercy. Because of the scope and size of the show and two actors being on stage the whole time, Dane is confined in bed most of the show. We have to keep the tension up for the entire show. Add in the elements of psychological and physical torture, and it becomes a challenging for the actors, Malone goes on to explain. Groanings and said that Annie is a complex and unlike any character she's played before. Her emotions are so extreme and come on so quickly, and a lot of people think she's crazy, but I don't. I think she is a deeply affected person with a lot of her past inside her and has shaped her. It's been a fascinating character study to try to step into her persona, Groganga goes on to explain. I'm notorious for having great empathy for my characters, and I get defensive for them. There's more to Annie than violence. It's just been a journey to try to find her and bring her out. The show requires both emotional and physical stamina from the performers. It also requires an incredible amount of focus, and it's exhausting. We're physically spent when rehearsal is over. WCP newcomer Markle Knapp initiated ending every rehearsal with a hug to remind ourselves of how we actually feel about each other. Groganga goes on to say, laughing. On stage, the setting is designed by Malone and technical director Josh Brown to create a sense of isolation and fear. Creating the theater special effects for certain scenes has been a fun technical challenge. We have to maintain the illusion for the audience, Malone goes on to say. Well, that certainly looks like a chiller, but particularly if it's a Stephen King work. All right, let's go back here now to the front page and move on here. Cedar Falls ghost tours dish up frights and food. Spooky dinner paired with after-dark strolls in downtown district. Lauren Reinisch doesn't startle easily. That's a good thing, too, because the local history buff is preparing to lead her annual Ghost Stories of Cedar Falls. Each weekend until Halloween, Reinisch will lift the veil on rumored mysteries and hauntings on 6 1-hour, 1 mile after dark walking tours in the downtown district. Scheduled tours are sold out, but anyone interested in the tour can join a wait list or book a private tour. And here is where you can go at link. I'm going to spell this out for you. linktr.efghostour. When I did the first ghost tours in 2021, I didn't think they'd be as popular. It's a niche interest. But in the past few years, I've discovered that people really are interested in the history of our community and enjoy seasonal activities like these. People also like the supporting a small business like mine, she goes on to say. She describes her content as spooky instead of scary, and she carries a lighted lantern to add ambiance to the stories that she tells. On October 25th, Reinisch and Chef Zach Gardner of The Spire are collaborating on another sold-out event, Ghost and Gourmet. A catered dinner will serve up faithful tales, and we got to turn the page here. Just a moment. Okay, bear with me for just a second. Tastes at the Black Hawk Hotel in downtown Cedar Falls. The dinner will be a real experience for participants. It's been fun to branch out and find a dish that fits with stories from the tour that gives the multi-course meal some context, said Gardner, known for his farm-to-table dinners prepared for numerous area events. He'll be using local purveyors for the highest quality ingredients available for his dishes, which will be prepared in advance and each course plated and served at the event. Hosting the dinner at the historic Black Hawk Hotel, originally a stagecoach hotel built in the 1850s and the second longest operating hotel in the country, is an ideal setting, Reinisch says. And she tells the story of a haunted room in the hotel where tenants may feel someone sit down on the edge of the bed. But there's no one there except an indentation in the comforter like someone was sitting there, she said. There are also unexplained smells and sounds, such as the meowing of a cat when no animals are present and the breaking of objects that have been reported in the room. A history buff, Reinisch has spent hours studying local history and researching stories at the Cedar Falls Historical Society. She donates a portion of proceeds from the tours to the Historical Society. Well, that looks like fun. Okay, let's go back again one more time to the, to the front page. Here, hold on just a minute. Okay, we're done with the first page. Let's go to the second page. Sheriff won't seek fifth term. Tony Thompson held post for 15 years, was with the department for 30 years. In Waterloo, Blackhawk County's longtime sheriff will not seek a fifth term. Sheriff Tony Thompson announced he will not run in next year's election after holding the position for 15 years. He's been with the department for 30 years. He's stepping down to spend more time with his wife and two sons. He said his family has paid the price for his job for decades. I owe them the rest of my time and attention, he said in a press release. He announced his decision a year in advance to allow candidates plenty of time to campaign. After winning his fourth term in 2020, he stated that he would not run for another term. First elected in 2008, he said he's proud of many projects he's helped accomplish. He mentioned building the training center in Raymond, creating a mobile radio network with almost full coverage, improving the jail's infrastructure, and extending health care to the jail's inmates. And he also said that he always encouraged staff to move forward and hopes that that does continue. I hope whoever gets the opportunity to take over this office keeps their foot on the gas, he said. It's said to stagnate when you're a public entity demanding tax dollars, to not force yourself to be creative, to not force yourself into a mindset that requires you to constantly look for opportunities to grow. The new sheriff will have the opportunity to work on projects already on the mind of the department. That could include expanding the training facility to allow for situation-based training and increasing the size of the jail. Thompson said that there was an opportunity for the county to use American Rescue Plan Act funds to increase the size of the jail and add more inmate beds, but the county didn't go forward with the project. So the sheriff's office has designs for how to increase bed space and spread out inmates as the inmate population gets younger and more violent. He also hopes that the new sheriff continues to be transparent, to do the job with integrity. When I don't see the same in others, it grates me, he said. Thompson said he will miss the staff and the challenges and the department deals with every day, as well as the effect he has had on the county. Waverly-Shell Rock superintendent resigns. Waverly-Shell Rock Community School Superintendent Ed Klamfuth has announced his resignation effective at the end of 2023-2024 school year. According to Klamfuth, he informed the staff and the Board of Education on the 3rd of October before formally submitting his resignation at the monthly meeting Monday evening. Speaking about his decision over the phone, Klamfuth said that he's interested in pursuing other challenges, but didn't rule out an eventful return to education. It's going to be a retirement, at least for now, Klamfuth said, but who knows what else I might try to take on. Klamfuth has been in education for 36 years as a teacher and a coach and an administrator. More recently, he's overseen the construction of the Northridge and Prairie West Elementary Schools and the renovation of Shell Rock Elementary. Klamfuth said that he announced his retirement in large part to give the school's board ample time to find a replacement. It feels like the right time for me, and I believe it's the right time for Waverly-Shell Rock. I'm confident that you will attract many quality candidates capable of taking the district to another level, Klamfuth wrote in his resignation letter. I thank you for your support of me over the last 10-plus years and for your dedication to Waverly-Shell Rock Schools. If I have had even a fraction of the positive impact on this district it has had on me, I will consider my time here a success. Board President Dennis Epley expressed gratitude for the time given to find a replacement. He commented on the nearly 11 years Klamfuth's been with WSR Community Schools. We've gone through some tough times. We've gone through some great times. But he's been steady and true through it all, Epley goes on to say over the telephone. Competency exam sought in string of sexual attacks. In Waterloo, the attorney for a North Liberty man accused of breaking into homes in Waterloo and Cedar Falls and raping the women inside is asking the court to put the brakes on the case. Asante Aji Walker Garcia Adams, age 25, is charged with burglary and sexual abuse in the March and April attacks, and he's suspected in similar incidents in other communities. Last week, defensive attorney Matthew Hoffey asked the court to issue a stay in the Black Hawk County cases in order to obtain a competency evaluation. Based upon observations and communications with the defendant, it is the opinion of counsel that the defendant's mental health is preventing him from appreciating the charges, understanding the proceedings, and effectively assisting in his defense, Hoffey wrote in his request. Hoffey asked the court to transport Walker to the Iowa Department of Corrections Medical and Classification Center for a mental health exam. The defense also is asking the court to hold separate trials in the Waterloo and Cedar Falls incident. Trial had been tentatively set for later this month. Women sentenced in 2021 Cedar Falls burglary and shooting. A Waterloo woman has been sentenced to prison in 2021 robbery and shooting at Cedar Falls Mobile Home Park. On Monday, Megan Lee Palmer, age 20, was sentenced to up to 20 years in prison on charges of second-degree burglary and conspiracy. A charge of robbery was dismissed as part of the plea agreement. the time will be added to 5 years in prison Palmer received for an eluding charge in an August 2023 police chase, but it will run concurrent to drug charges stemming from a search during the robbery investigation. According to court records, William Clausen was ambushed outside his mobile home on Peridot Road on the 10th of September 2021. He tried to run and was shot. The assailants also took items from his home. During the investigation, authorities found evidence Palmer discussed planning of the robbery and was in the area when it occurred. According to court records, when officers searched her home in October of 2021, they found marijuana and a 9mm Smith & Wesson handgun. Two others were charged in the robbery case. Aborina Ray Linbaugh, age 19, was sentenced to up to 10 years in prison on a conspiracy charge. The suspected shooter, Alberto Quinto, age 18, pleaded to robbery and burglary and was sentenced to 35 years in prison, suspended to 2 to 5 years of probation. While Palmer was out of jail awaiting sentencing, she allegedly refused to pull over for a traffic stop in August and led officers on a 3-minute chase through a neighborhood. All right, what else do we have here? It's time for us to turn the page again here and see what we have here. Okay, we've got to turn that one more time. All right, now we're in the Cedar Falls section of the paper. And this article is called Strolling with the Spirits. Grout's annual event brings local historical figures vividly to life. In Waterloo, several of the city's interesting historical figures will step out from behind tombstones and monuments at the Waterloo Cemetery to share their recollections during Strolling with the Spirits on the 21st of October. The annual signature event, presented by the Grout Museum, has become a beloved family-friendly Halloween tradition and living history event. It is a unique walking tour that allows participants to step into the past and hear stories about the people and events that helped shape Waterloo. The Waterloo Cemetery is located at 1830 Kimball Avenue. Tickets remain for the 3:30 p.m. tour. Registration is due by the 20th of October. Cost is $10 for members and $12 for the general public. The night tour, which takes place at 7 p.m., is already filled. A different cemetery is featured each year to highlight broad range of historical figures. We are a museum, and we want... Bear with me here. I got to turn the page. Want to talk about the past and interesting people, pioneers and business people, the founders and the people who built the community of Waterloo and who had an impact on our community. We talk about who they are, why they came here, what they did and accomplished, said Hope Moses, museum assistant. It's a fun fall activity to do with your family. And it's a beautiful cemetery to walk through, she said. Local actors will portray the historical spirits. Grout Director of Education Angie Hickok researched the cemetery, and I wanted to find familiar names in the community and the names of the people the public would recognize, whether or not they know why the names sound familiar. And then I wandered through the cemetery and looking at the headstones, I looked for the biggest and oldest monuments because those usually represent well-known citizens, she explains. Participants may appreciate Hammond as a street name or known something about wealthy businessmen. Ranzier Russell and his daughter Lillian Russell Lampson, but names like Love Charity Pal Verdon and John Snowden aren't as recognizable. All of these historical figures are buried in the Waterloo Cemetery. All right, let's move on here. Jessup's family's tree farm is honored. Craig Parker's 150-acre spread wins notice as Tree Farmer of the Year. Craig Parker has been recognized as the 2023 Tree Farmer of the Year by the Iowa Tree Farm Program in recognition of the work he's done over the course of a decade. The Iowa Tree Farm Program is a collection of woodland owners dedicated to sustainably managing their land for wood, water, wildlife, and recreation. I'm grateful to know that what we've done the last 10 years out here is headed in the right direction and doing the right thing, Parker said as he accepted the award. I try to be a good steward of the land. The land has been in the Parker family since 1914. Parker, 72, received his first 20 acres of land from his father, Stuart, on the southeast portion of the family farm in the 1980s. He became the caretaker of the Wapsacore tree farm, started in 2013 after retiring from his job at MidAmerican Energy. According to Parker, he had other options about how to use the land. These included growing Christmas trees and vineyards on the property. But bad experiences working on a friend's Christmas tree farm soured him on the former, while a lack of people to harvest discouraged him from the latter. He decided to plant woodlands and contacted then Iowa Department of Natural Resources District Forester Bruce Blair to get the project underway. Since then, he's planted nearly 150 acres worth of trees of more than a dozen species, along with various shrubs along the banks of the Wapsipinicon River. The land is haven for wildlife, giving Parker, an avid outdoorsman, his own personal spot to hunt and fish. We had the church group out for a ride on Sunday afternoon, and we saw a dozen turkeys head to the timber and lots of deer, he said. One day I was down hunting, and a friend walked the timber toward me, and I saw, well, I lost count at 35 deer. Parker has also planted a prairie restoration project on the western part of the land on roughly 10 acres and a pollination site for bees. What Craig's done out here has led to really great habitat for game and non-game species, and that's improved the hunting too, said Alex Hoffman, the current district forester, who recommended Parker for the award. So, kind of the four pillars there. Parker, for his part, says that Parker says it's the ideal way to spend his retirement. Well, it's just a wonderful opportunity. I enjoy retirement, Parker said, and it gives me something to do every day, and it's varied. Whether it's planting trees, spraying, trimming, maintaining the trails, it's just a wonderful way to retire. Well, I certainly agree to that. Ring of Fire Eclipse View Party Saturday. Grout Museum to host free event at the park. In Waterloo this weekend, residents can venture out to Waterloo Park for a spectacular sight in the sky. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday at Washington Park on the corner of Washington Street and Park Avenue, the Grout Museum will hold a solar eclipse viewing party. The event is free. Those attending will be able to use telescopes provided by the Blackhawk County Astronomy Club and solar eclipse glasses from NASA to view the Ring of Fire. If eye protection is not used, those looking at the sun could lose their eyesight. The next time those in the contiguous U.S. will see the phenomenon will be in 2046. David Voits, a member of the Astronomy Club, said that there'll be a total solar eclipse in 2024. The last one was in 2017. He said having three eclipses within a decade is rare. An annular eclipse happens when the moon lines up exactly between the Earth and the sun, covering everything except the sun's outer rim. Only a bright circle of sun around the edges of the moon will be visible. This is expected to happen around noon. Angie Hickok, director of the education at the Grout Museum, said that the museum wanted a free public event to further its mission of understanding the world through history and science. After participants view the eclipse, they can go inside the museum and enjoy family-friendly space-themed activities. Hickok also noted that the Norris Corson Family Planetarium shows at 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. on Saturday. Those wanting to visit the planetarium will have to pay the museum's entry fee of $20 for adults and $13 for veterans and children. Museum members get in for free. Voits believes that the semi-rare spectacle is important for children to see. It's a part of nature and a part of their surroundings, he said, and it's important to know about the natural world. Marching bands end year on a high note. Directors reflect on state competitions, improved performances this year. In Waterloo, the Cedar Valley Marching Bands have been showing off their talent as they close out the 2023 season. Waterloo West and East, Cedar Falls, and Don Bosco High Schools walked away last weekend with top-notch results at state competitions. this week, their directors had their minds, the aspects that stood and what led to their success. Waterloo West and East and Cedar Falls walked away with the highest mark, a Division I, a superior rating in Class 4A from the from the Iowa High School's School Music Association State Marching Band Festival on Saturday at Memorial Stadium in Waterloo. Don Bosco earned a top rating as well in the 2A class at its state contest at Kingston Stadium in Cedar Rapids. East director Joel Smith noted all areas of the band were outstanding in the group's performance of Metal Mania, which included the rock tunes of Alice Cooper, Black Sabbath, and Metallica. They overcame all challenges, including an amplifier power malfunction. A recording of the Metallica arrangement will be entered in the first ever nationwide Metallica Marching Band competition. The band will submit the video of its performance of For Whom the Bell Tolls, which will be posted online for public voting on the 19th of November. We invited our parents there to come and see that, and we had a nice little audience in the stands, said Smith of Monday's performance, and it was good for the kids to have that added pressure of a live audience. We got some great recordings, and the parents were excited to see that on the field. The 70-member band, including 13 seniors, will play at 7:30 p.m. Friday during the football game at Memorial Stadium at 1320 Katoski Drive. That's K-A-T-O-S-K-I Drive. It's the band's last performance before it gets uniforms. West co-director Jason Dobbs commended the precision demonstrated by his 92-member band. It's in the Stars show at the state competition. He saw members' confidence increase as the year progressed and reach a point where they could really perform the show. For example, toward the start of our show, we have a big, huge star that matches our theme, and the star rotates on the field, he said. This doesn't happen and wouldn't be apparent without the precision of everyone knowing exactly where they're supposed to be and the right step size and correct angle in tune with the people around them. Its last show of the season will be at 7:30 p.m. October 20th during the football game at Memorial Stadium at Central Middle School in Waterloo. 14 seniors will graduate this school year. All right, let's turn the page. Now what we're going to do is I'm going to begin reading some of the events of things to do over this weekend. And when we reach the half hour, I will read the obituary news, and then we'll come back and finish the events that are going on. So let's take a look here. Thursday, the 12th of October, that's today. Sunday, October 15th, final shows for Noises Off. Critics and fans alike have described Noises Off as the funniest farce ever written. Filled with silly situations, slamming doors, flying sardines, Cedar Falls Community Theater wraps up their run of this perennial favorite with performances at 7:30 p.m. tonight and 2 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Shows are at the Oster Region Theater at 103 Main Street. Adult tickets are $22. Youths are $12. Tickets are available online at myCFCT.org/noises-OFF at the box office, or you can also call them at 319-277-5283. All right, and on Friday the 13th, Friday the 13th, what have we got here? Midday Melodies set at noon Friday. Midday Melodies will feature the UNI School of Music Department with special guest Stephanie Yeza directing the UNI tuba students. The program is free, and it takes place at the Hearst Center for the Arts at 304 West Surly Boulevard in Cedar Falls. Feel Cool Wind in Your Hair at 7 p.m. on Friday, Hotel California. A Salute to the Eagles will be on stage at the Gallagher Blue Dorn Performing Arts Center at 8201 Dakota Street in Cedar Falls. The most successful and longest-running show of its kind, the Eagles Salute is the only show to receive official authorization to perform the Eagles catalog of music. Now, if you want to get tickets, this is where you have to go. And it's kind of a long address. Here it is. https://unitix.uni.edu/. And if that's a little too complicated for you, you can also call 319-273-4849 or visit the box office located at the Strayer Wood Theater. All right, we have reached the half-hour portion of our broadcast here. And as I said, I need to go to the obituary page, and we'll do that. And then, like I say, we'll come back to the events that are going on in our area. I would like to remind you that my name is Peter Welch. I am your narrator for The Courier, the e-edition of The Courier. And this is Thursday, October 12th, and you are listening to IRIS, the Iowa Radio Information Services Network for the Blind and the Disabled. Judith Moss has passed at the age of 77 of Osage at the Manley Care Center in Manley, Iowa. A celebration of life will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Friday, the 13th of October, at Eden Presbyterian Church at 3105 Glass Avenue, Rudd, Iowa, with Reverend Dixie Laub officiating. And the burial will be in the Osage Cemetery. A visitation gathering with friends and family will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, October 12th, at the Champion Funeral in Osage. George Thacker Jr. has passed at the age of 70 at the Virginia Gay Hospital in Vinton with his loving family by his side. Graveside services will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Friday, October 13th at Maplewood Cemetery in Vinton. A reception will be held at the GOG Lucky American Post following the service. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed to the Virginia Gay Respiratory Department. Jack C. McDowell has passed at the age of 76 at the Unity Point Health Allen Hospital in Waterloo. A memorial service will be held from 1 p.m. Thursday, October 12th at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Evansdale. Visitation will take place for 1 hour prior to the service at the church. Memorials may be directed to the family. Condolences may be left at www.locke funeralservice.com. And Locke at Towers Park is assisting the family. And they're located at 4140 Kimball Avenue in Waterloo. Telephone number 319-233-3146. And Genevieve Krosky has passed at the age of 94. And she had been living at the Edgewood Convalescent Home. And memorials in Genevieve memory may be directed to PEO Manchester Chapter. Please share a memory of Genevieve at www.murdochfuneralhome.com under obituaries. And finally, Dean Meyer, that's M-E-I-E-R, has passed at the age of 78. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Monday, October 16th, at the Nazareth Lutheran Church, with visitation from 3 to 5 p.m. on Sunday, October 15th, at the Dahl Van Hove Schoof Funeral Home. Okay, now we are done there, so let's get back now to what is going on with events here in our broadcast and listening area. All right, we've got on Friday, the 13th of October, Misery Stokes Fear. Waterloo Community Playhouse brings Stephen King's psychological thriller, Misery, to the Hope Martin Theater stage at the Waterloo Center for the Arts, as we mentioned a little bit earlier in our broadcast. And that is at Commercial Street. The performances are at 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 2 p.m. Sunday. Adults are $22 and children are $19. And you can purchase your tickets at the box office at the WCA by calling 319-291-4494 or go online www.wcpbhct.org. scenes of violence and strong foul language will be heard in this performance. And on the October 15th, on Sunday, Pets on Parade at the Arboretum, Sunday Fun Day at the Cedar Valley Arboretum and Botanic Gardens, 927 East Orange Road in Waterloo. We'll feature Pets on Parade and other activities from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pet owners are encouraged to dress up their furry, fuzzy, feathered, and scaly friends to join in Sunday's Pet Parade. The event is free with admission, $7 for adults, 18 and older, $4 for children ages 5 to 17, and free for children ages 4 and under, and also Arboretum members. Trios EMS Concert at Hearst, May Lotta Hall, and at the Hearst Center for the Arts at 304 West Surly Boulevard will be the scene of a 2 p.m. concert on Sunday featuring Amanda Anderson on violin, Matthew Glasscock on cello, Sean Botkin on piano. The trio performs works by Beethoven and also Pazzola and some other artists, free and open to the public. Tour to benefit Cedar Falls Historical Society. Sunday's Cedar Falls Historic Churches tour is from 1 to 5 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets are $15 per person, 12 and under are free. Available at the Cedar Falls Historical Society at 308 West 3rd Street or at participating churches the day of the tour. All right, let's see if we've missed anything here. I think we've got one. Yeah, we've got, oh, here we go. We got a couple here. President's Own to perform on Saturday, 7:30 p.m. The President's Own United States Marine Band will perform at the Gallagher Blue Dorn Performing Arts Center at 8201 Dakota Street in Cedar Falls. The Marine Band is America's oldest continuously active professional musical organization. And admission is free, but tickets are required. So to check on availability, you need to call 319-273-4849. And again, that will be held at the Gallagher Blue Dorn Performing Arts Center at 8201 Dakota Street in Cedar Falls. And we mentioned earlier about the solar eclipse, and this is just a little bit more info. Saturday the 14th of October, view a solar eclipse. The Grout Museum District will host a solar eclipse viewing party Saturday beginning at 10 a.m. in Washington Park. Participants can gaze through telescopes equipment for viewing the sun and talking with members of the Blackhawk County Astronomy Club. Viewing glasses will be provided. Annual solar eclipses occurs globally every year or two. Light snacks will be provided. The event is free. Washington Park is across the street from the Grout Museum at 503 South Street in Waterloo. And again, remember, do not look directly at the solar eclipse because that could cause blindness. That's very important that you do not do that. All right, let's move on here and see what else we've got going on here in the paper today. And we've got a few metro briefs I need to read to you. In Waterloo, the Waterloo Water Works will continue its water main flushing program today. The water mains in the area from Kimball Avenue to Hammond Avenue between East Ridgeway Avenue and East San Marnen Avenue will be flushed. Customers living within the area and within several blocks of the flushing area could experience some discoloration. Customers are urged not to plan a wash day on Thursday. The discolored water is bacterially safe. And what else do we have here? Cedar Valley Hospice is honored. Cedar Valley Hospice received an award that acknowledges agencies that provide quality care measured by patients' experiences and those of the caregivers. The health facility has been named a 2023 Hospice Consumer Assessment of Healthcare Provider and Systems Award recipient. The award is given by analyzing satisfaction measures, but asking if patients and caregivers receive timely help, had good support and communication, were trained on how to care for their loved ones, and if they would recommend the hospice to others. Cedar Valley Hospice is one of the only seven in Iowa chosen for this recognition. All right, let's turn the page. What do we got next here? We continue on Cedar Valley area. Two Cedar Falls School hopefuls quit race. The race is down to seven candidates from nine who originally filed. The crowded Cedar Falls Board of Education race has taken an unexpected twist in what Blackhawk County's elections manager, Karen Showalter, says is an unusual situation. Only seven of the nine candidates who filed before the 21st of September deadline are still seeking a seat. The two who dropped include Jordan Vernoy. He plans to relocate with his family in part due to education legislation passed by the legislature and signed into law by Governor Kim Reynolds last session. Vernoy and Matt Garvin were two of the eight candidates who'd been vying for one of the four available seats with a four-year term. The election is being held on the 7th of November. Garvin, age 38, a regional account manager handling pharmaceutical distribution for livestock at MW1 Animal Health, withdrew on the last allowable day on the 26th of September and said Josh Rosendahl, a county election official specialist. Vernoy, age 39, the co-owner of See What I Mean Consulting, says that his name will still be on the ballot, but asks people not to vote for him. The policies of Iowa have gone backwards, Vernoy said when reached by telephone on Tuesday. Whether it be the book banning or not teaching about gender identity and history related to race, we don't want to raise our kids in a state like that, and that boosted our decision to think about moving. He and his wife had previously thought about the possibility of leaving the state. A future move to the Twin Cities in Minneapolis became a reality after a trip the 24th of September up north to see a concert. They realized that the opportunities there feel like it's the right time to relocate. Garvin, who Venroy says is his wife's cousin, did not respond to voicemail Tuesday seeking comment. He's not required to provide a reason for the decision to withdraw. Cedar Falls School Board shopping for furniture. Officials are expecting a cost of around $3 million. The Board of Education this week authorized seeking bids for a few thousand pieces of furniture at the new high school on West 27th Street. Officials hope to keep the cost to $3 million. Furniture was chosen in a way that incentivizes multiple bidders to offer different lines of furniture. Those contracts are expected to come before the board next month, with the actual furniture placed and installed at the building in late spring and summer. Envision Architecture over the last year has met with various academic departments and brought in furniture to be tested by students, teachers, and a steering committee. We definitely took into consideration durability, cost, flexibility, knowing that this furniture needs to last a lot of years. Kendra Christensen, interior designer with Envision Architecture, told the board. She said that there have been price increases in the industry, but reassured members they've come down a little bit, and lead time on deliveries are getting back to normal. The furniture bids will mark the final time the district will seek bids for the new school slated to open in fall of 2024. Penultimate bid process had been new audiovisual equipment, a $1.81 million bid, awarded in July from Affintech of Chanhassen, Minnesota. We're really excited about the flexible dynamic spaces, especially when that's paired with our AV equipment and what's going to happen across each of these classrooms, said Superintendent Andy Patty. It's really going to bring really high functioning space across each of the classrooms. Bus problems still vex Waterloo School Board. Superintendent says things getting better, but are not fixed yet. The Waterloo School Board provided clarification on topics such as policy changes and frustrations with the district's bus provider after complaints from the public. Although it wasn't an agenda item, Waterloo Community School District Superintendent Jared Smith updated the board regarding ongoing issues with the district's new contracted bus company, First Student. Student parents, bus drivers, teachers, and administrators have voiced their aggravation with First Student for almost 2 months, citing delayed pickup and drop-off times, lack of drivers, and longer than usual bus rides. Smith said that he met with a representative from First Student corporate offices who flew into Waterloo, as well as the district's general manager. The feedback we've gotten is that things have been better, but I would not say they're great, Smith said. We will not let this go. We will have consistent updates until we get them fixed. All right. What else is going on? Need to turn the page here? All right. And I think I've got myself an ad here. All right. Let's see what else we have here in the paper today. Let me turn the page yet one more time. Let's take a look at the weather forecast. Today, there'll be morning rain, and that's just about over for now, and we'll have a high of 56 degrees. Tonight, a heavy rain and a thunderstorm, and that will be a low, there'll be a low of 53 degrees. On Friday, milder with periods of rain, high of 65, low of 47. And you know, folks, we really need this rain, badly. And then on Saturday, breezy in the a.m., cloudy. And a high of 56, a low of 42. Then on Sunday, cloudy most of the time, high of 58, low of 41. And the outlook for Monday, it will be some sun, partly cloudy, high of 59 and a low of 39. And also in the national forecast outlook, severe thunderstorms will erupt late today and tonight in parts of the southern plains. Meanwhile, drenching rain will stretch across parts of the northern plains as snow falls in the higher terrain of Colorado and Wyoming, and rain change to snow at lower elevations. Good heavens, can you believe it? We are actually seeing some snow already. Rain and gusty thunderstorms will slowly exit in the southeast. I cannot believe that we are already even talking about snow at this point. All right, let's keep moving on here. Let's go to the 360 page. Okay, this the 360 degrees page is for the National and World Report. Let's take a look at some of the things that have been happening in our world. First off, we've got something here about early intervention at risk. This is regarding child development. And this is in Chicago. Many families struggle to get needed services. Alexander watches Paw Patrol with fervor and bowls his baby brother over with hugs and does everything with gusto. What the three-year-old West Chicago toddler can't do yet is speak more than a few words. His balance is wobbling. He isn't able to let his preschool teachers know when he's hurt or scared. When his mother, Hilda Garcia, had him tested, the youngster qualified for 5 therapies through a U.S. program dedicated to treating developmental delays in babies and toddlers, treatment designed to help Alexander develop the tools he needs to thrive. The relief she felt in identifying what he needed was short-lived. The federally mandated early intervention program is plagued by chronic staff shortages nationwide, leaving thousands of desperate parents frustrated. They know their children need support. They're aware of proven therapies that could make a difference, but they have to wait for months to get the help they need. After 14 months of phone calls, hours of research, and pushing herself to the limit with work and childcare, Garcia finally landed an in-person early intervention appointment. But even then, she couldn't get Alexander all the therapies he needed. She tears up as she recounts how overwhelming the fight to secure access has been. I didn't have any support, she said. Early intervention was created in 1986 to address developmental delays in children like Alexander as soon as possible. About one in six children in the U.S. has at least one developmental disability or other developmental delay, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Since all U.S. states and territories accept federal funding for early intervention, they are obligated to provide services to kids who qualify under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. But providers are scarce in almost all states. Some children wait months or years for the care they need, and many age out of the program before they have access to any services at all. The COVID-19 pandemic worsened the chronic staffing shortages, in part because many providers didn't want to risk infection by entering families' homes, even when restrictions on in-person visits were lifted. According to Maureen Greer, the executive director of the Infant and Toddler Coordinators Association, which supports the early intervention systems nationwide. For similar reasons, families were also less likely to request in-person help during the pandemic. But now the number of children seeking services has rebounded, and states are struggling to find the staff to meet the needs of families with young children with disabilities, according to Katie Neese of the U.S. Department of Education. Service delays in Illinois, where Alexander lives, nearly doubled in 2022, according to Chicago-based early childhood advocacy organization Start Early. Waitlist, technically not allowed since all eligible kids are entitled to early intervention, have increased dramatically, and thousands of providers have left the field, according to the Illinois Department of Human Services. When children turn three, the responsibility for providing special education services shifts from early intervention to school districts. But those systems are understaffed and booked up too, according to speech language pathologist Sarah Zimba, an early intervention provider in Peoria, Illinois. Waiting means skipping precious months of development, while acting early saves money on special education and other services later in life. Research really supports the earlier the better. And so when we miss these opportunities to help them at those younger ages, sometimes we are limiting, bear with me here, I have to move the page up, limiting their potential into adulthood, said Zimbia. Families with private insurance can opt to pay for therapy appointments outside the early intervention program, but those without the without the means can be left behind, according to Zimbia. All right, let's keep moving here. Go to the next page here. All right. ACT ACT scores decrease to 30-year low. High school student scores on the ACT college admissions test have dropped to their lowest in more than three decades, showing a lack of student preparedness for college-level coursework, according to the nonprofit organization that administers the test. Scores have been scores have been falling for six consecutive years. But the trend accelerated during the COVID-19 pandemic. Students in the class of 2023, whose scores were reported Wednesday, were in their first year of high school when the virus reached the U.S. The hard truth is that we're not doing enough to ensure that graduates are truly ready for post-secondary success in college and career, says Janet Godwin, chief executive officer for the nonprofit ACT. The average ACT composite score for U.S. students was 19.5 out of 36 last year. The average score was 19.8. The average scores in reading, science, and math all were below benchmarks. The ACT says that students must reach to have a high probability of success in first-year college courses. The average score in English was just above the benchmark, but still declined compared to last year. All right, we've got a couple minutes left, and I'll read this article here. Zelensky seeks more NATO aid in Brussels. For the first time, Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky joined a meeting of more than 50 defense leaders from around the world on Wednesday to make personal pitch for military aid in the face of lagging political support in the U.S. and new pressures on allies to send weapons to bolster Israel's war with Hamas. His presence underscored growing concerns about cracks in what has been staunch international backing for Kyiv. Kiev, I should say, and its war against Russia's invasion, and worries that the Ukrainian forces haven't made measurable progress in the counteroffensive as winter closes in. Next Monday, we will mark the 600th day of our resistance to Russia's full-scale aggression against our people, against Ukraine. And today, no one can say for sure how many more days we will have to defend our independence and to defend our identity, Zelensky goes on to tell the gathering as they opened the meeting. But we can already say several things which I think are important. First, Putin will not achieve Ukraine. Second, Russia cannot afford a new arms race. And third, democracy can win this battle. The article does go on, but we have run out of time. I'm sorry to say. I would like to remind you that I am Peter Welch, your narrator, and you have been listening to IRIS, the Iowa Radio Information Services Network for the Blind and the Disabled, and we have been reading the e-edition of The Courier. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Take care, and we'll talk again next week. Bye-bye now.